This FabFM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
That time of the week when we get excited because we talk to our tech guy, Richard Pascoe, who's always got really interesting things to talk about. And last week, of course, we went a bit early because we were talking about all of the things that Apple had been announcing and bringing out. Richard brought us up to date with all of that, and you can always check his website. We'll give you that at the end of the podcast. G'day, Richard.
Hello, Paul. This week will be one of the most exciting pieces of audio you've ever heard in your life. Hold on. This is like Orson Welles' War of the Worlds.
Now, that's a big build-up. If it's not good, it's going to flop. You know, that's it. People now are expecting something big in CinemaScope.
They are. Do I ever let anybody down, Paul? Occasionally I do say yes.
Let's move on, I think, with that statement.
Okay.
Well, anyway, let's look at our first thing for this week. If people are looking for a cheap iPhone and not buying the iPhone 12, this may be for you. What do you got?
I'm picking up my iPhone on Friday, the iPhone 12 Pro, but a lot of people out there, they just want an iPhone. So the iPhone SE was released earlier this year, and one of the parts that got missed in the Apple announcements a week ago was that Apple actually reduced, it came down in price, people, the price of the iPhone SE, which was brought out this year. So they've actually dropped it by $70 on all the options. So the iPhone SE, great camera on there as well. You can get great storage. The 64 gig iPhone SE is now only $679. The 128 gig version, $759, and the 256 gig version, $929. Good savings, great phone, and it's a great price when you consider, Paul, that the iPhone 12 is nearly $1,200.
So you're looking at about half price.
And it will do you for everything that you do. Great camera in there, storage. It will always be kept up to date for the next few years. Why not buy one of those?
Absolutely. Now, often people sell things online, and Marion's been doing that a little bit recently because we've sold a little bit of furniture because we're getting some new furniture for our place. She went online to sell a few things, worked pretty well. But you've got a couple of tips if people are thinking of going online and selling.
I do. When you go along to photograph things, make sure the background setting is everything. Find a nice blank background like a wall to shoot against so that people concentrate on just what you're selling. Styling, super easy. Place your item on a pillar or a tabletop. Don't place a bed on top of the tabletop because it's not going to work. And put all the accessories that go with it in the frame as well. Lighting is key. It's so important.
Particularly with a key light.
Exactly right. Natural lighting for a window, hard to beat. So try and take photos during the day if you can. Use the edit functions on your smartphone or camera to add that extra light as well. And never take a photo at night with your lamp on, or never have a shadow on your picture as well. And be descriptive. If you know everything about what you're about to sell, then include it. And include measurements, specifications on there as well. Because that detailed description, when you sell things online, not only drives traffic due to searchability, but also reduces the volume of questions people will send you, which save you time.
Also, don't leave any private information in those photos. Because I've actually seen people sell things and they'll leave personal information on a table, for example, and all you have to do is zoom in. Hello, there's their personal address, details, yep. All that. So make sure you clear any personal items away. That's my little tip.
And if you're selling anything with a reflection in it, make sure you've got clothes on when you go along and sell that item.
That's right. You're selling the mirror and there you are in the nutty.
Exactly right. So people don't want to see that. Well, depends. But yeah, it will get you plenty of hits, but the wrong sort of people roll up your door to buy things.
That's right.
Depending how you look, yes.
And by the way, that's in 30 years is probably the last time I use the word nutty.
My
mum used to use that word. She said, "Oh, don't come out here in the nutty."
Yes, clear.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We're talking with our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. And Richard, what song was that? Google can tell you. Now, I have on my phone, and I use it all the time, obviously, because I'm selecting music for the station. I have Shazam, but you're saying Google have got something now.
They do. They've added a hum to search feature to its search tools. It's out now. So if you've got an iPhone or an Android phone, it's available in the Google app. And it will let you search just by humming, whistling, or singing that annoying song sometimes that's stuck in your head. And then they use machine learning to try and identify. I've already tried out on a couple of things, and basically I can't hum, Paul. But a couple of things did come up in there as well. So what you can do is it works by using machine learning. What they do, Paul, is when you hum it, it actually transforms the audio into a number-based sequence representing a song's melody, which it then compares to existing songs. Now, Google has trained these models on a variety of sources, including human singing, whistling, humming, as well as studio recordings. They strip away things like instruments, vocal quality, and focus just on that numeric sequence. So consequently, the hum to search feature should work whether you're tone deaf or have perfect pitch. It's a great idea.
Now, Shazam doesn't do that because Shazam will only identify songs that are in their catalogue and all of that, right? But it won't identify me humming.
No, or trying to sing the song sometimes, because let's face it, if I try and sing a song, Google just goes, please be quiet.
Please be quiet. There's a little be quiet comes up with a little sticker.
Can I do a little story just on the hum to search part?
Certainly.
I used to help out a DJ and do midnight to about 4 a.m. in the morning on a station. And we used to have that 2 o'clock in the morning when there was not many people. And they'd get calls to come in. We used to go, guess which song we're humming at the time. No matter who rang up and what they said the song was, everybody was wrong. So, yes. Week after week until we just dropped the segment.
What? Well, great. But I would have thought that would have been a wonderful segment because you guys humming would have put me to sleep.
Exactly right. But, you know, you can only hum the theme from Gilligan's Island so many times.
That's right. Well, what's this song? Are you ready? I'm not a bad hummer. Are you ready?
Okay.
I'm not going to go on till the end of the song.
Is it something by 50 Cent?
What? Are you serious?
No, raindrops keep falling on my head. There you go.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I thought, gee whiz, I'm not the best hummer in the world, but I would have figured that one you'd get, and you did.
Yep, there we go.
All right. Okay, we're talking with our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. And before we go off onto a tangent, as we normally do, and we do that quite often, the crap tech item of the week, Pokemon Go plus Bluetooth wristband bracelet watch. What the hell's this?
Do you remember when Pokemon Go was first released?
Oh, yeah.
And it was such a popular thing, used artificial reality. People were walking around streets with their smartphones trying to catch Pokemon. And these were people that used to play games in their, you know, in
nerds.
Their bedroom
nerds.
I'm getting to that, Paul, with the blinds drawn. And suddenly they went outside and you could tell somebody that hadn't come out for a while because they were.
Hello? You dropped out.
Oh, sorry.
It's about time you get that iPhone 12, I think, mate. That was a complete dropout.
Was it? I'm in an obscure part of Adelaide at the moment, so I apologise. Are we back on?
You're back on. Go.
Excellent. I won't move my head. So Pokemon Go plus Bluetooth wristband is a wearable device that links to your smartphone through Bluetooth. And basically, as you walk down the street, it will vibrate on your wrist if you need near a Pokemon at the time. And a little light will flash on there as well. It's red. It looks like it's been made for about $2 on there as well.
Right.
Then you can look at your phone and see which Pokemon you've got. And when the LED flashes and the device vibrates, you can press the button to throw a Pokeball.
Oh, gee. This is the most boring thing I've ever heard. But who was interested in this crap?
I've got no idea. Pokemon Go fans. So you and if you've caught it, you'll get it. But you can collect Pokeballs, berries, and eggs.
Collect what?
You look at your Pokeballs.
Pokeballs. Okay.
Berries and eggs without having to look at your smartphone.
Oh, pokeballs. I mean, honestly, this always gets to the lowest common denominator towards the end of the segment, doesn't it?
It does. Now, they put some notes in there that say, if there is an abnormality in the product, please replace the battery. Can I just say that? No shit, Sherlock. Really, I never thought about missing that.
Oh, dear. What's this thing worth, this load of crap?
$25. No, it looks like it's worth about $2. One of the most worst things I've ever seen. And at the end of it, they say, thank you for your understanding and cooperation. It should be thank you for understanding and cooperation for this piece of crap.
Well, you may as well just get $25 and burn it or throw it in the bin or something like that. Or you could go to the tin shed here, which is beautiful. When you do come up finally in 2028, we'll be able to have lunch here. And you'll be able to pay $25 and get a lovely meal at the tin shed. But that's by the by. Let's move on now. Sure. Okay. You will get up here one day, won't you?
I will.
Okay. Yes. All right. Make me a promise on the podcast.
Promise on the podcast.
By when?
I will be up there by February next year.
Oh, now I've got that. I've recorded that. And that is sealed.
I swear on number one's life that I will be there.
Okay, no worries. Number one is Ralph Hadzik, who's also our mate in Adelaide. Now, let's go off onto a tangent. Now, you know, these are things that don't exist anymore, and I wish they were back. Now, I'm getting something that just happened recently in the last couple of days, that Eskimo pie ice cream, you know the Eskimo pie?
Yes, oh yes.
They're changing it to polar pie, so they don't upset the Eskimos.
Oh, good heavens, Paul. It's getting ridiculous.
This is getting insane now. Eskimo pie to polar pie to be PC.
Oh, I mean, what's gone wrong with the world? Good heavens.
What do you got?
I've got two things. Firework. Do you remember Guy Fawkes Night?
But we called it Cracker Night.
Cracker night, doesn't matter, great night, one of the best nights all the way around till people went a bit too berserk trying to explode and blow up things.
Yes, that's
one
right.
One of the finest nights you could ever have, which was, you know, ambulance would be going past, there'll be fires in the neighbourhood, and I don't see what's wrong. There'd be nobody with an orange safety vest within miles, and if they were, back then they would be drowned in firecrackers as well.
That's right, and I can remember a couple of, when I was a kid, and I mean, you know, I was a pretty good kid, but now and again you'd get up to a bit of a strife, and we blew up a few letterboxes with those big bungers. Remember the,
they were great.
The green and red bungers, they were biggies.
Yep. And if you strapped about six together, you could make a huge wick, so it all went off at once.
Yeah, well, I believe they're using those in Iraq now.
Exactly right.
Honestly, I don't know how we survived, because those bungers, we used to hold them in our hands until it almost exploded, and then threw it in the air.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah, I remember my good friend One-Eyed Larry.
Yeah, you know. Larry. What a lovely guy he was. He kept bumping into walls. Oh, sad case.
Exactly right. Yeah, the other thing that I've got on there is Tamagotchis.
Oh, Tamagotchis. Now, what the hell were they? That was another Pokemon sort of thing, wasn't it?
So, before all handheld games and everything, you could go out and buy a Tamagotchi and you had to feed the stupid thing. It was just on a screen, very poor graphics on there as well. You could feed it and it was about trying to keep the thing alive. It was only a matter of time before it died or the battery died or something. Because if you pulled the battery out, the thing died anyway. Mm. And it was supposed to progress through life as well. So it was designed to teach kids how to look after animals, but I don't think it ever worked. So.
No. Which reminds me of something else, but I'll keep it till next week. What you've just said reminded me of something else that's not around anymore. Okay, well, thank you, mate. Now, give us your website, please.
Head over to talktech.com.au.
And as always, Richard, have a wonderful, safe week, whatever you do, and thank you very much for talking with us. We'll check with you next week.
Look forward to it, Paul.